In Motormania, a 1950 Walt Disney short, the lovably dim dog Goofy stars as Mr. Walker, a model pedestrian on two legs. He is a good citizen, courteous and honest, the sort who whistles back at birds and wouldn't step on an ant. Once Mr. Walker gets behind the steering wheel of his car, however, a strange phenomenon takes place. His whole personality changes. He becomes Mr. Wheeler, a power-obsessed, uncontrollable monster who races other cars at stoplights and views the road as his own personal property, but still considers himself a good driver. Then he steps out of his car and, deprived of his personal armor, reverts to being Mr. Walker. Every time he gets back into his car, despite the fact that he knows how the other fellow feels, he is consumed by the personality of Mr. Wheeler. What Disney was identifying, in his brilliantly simple way, was a commonplace but peculiar fact of life. We are how we move. Like Goofy, I too suffer from this multiple personality disorder. When I walk, which as a New Yorker I often do, I view cars as loud, polluting annoyances driven by out-of-town drunks distracted by their cell phones. When I drive, I find that pedestrians are suddenly the menace, whacked-out iPod drones blithely meandering across the street without looking. When I ride a bike, I get the worst of both worlds, buffeted by speeding cars whose drivers resent my superior health and fuel economy, and hounded by oblivious pedestrians who seem to think it's safe to cross against the light if only a bike is coming, but are then startled and indignant as I whisk past at 25 miles per hour. I'm guessing this sort of thing happens to you as well. Let us call it a modal bias. Some of this has to do with our skewed perceptual senses, as I will discuss in Chapter 3. Some of it has to do with territoriality, like when bicyclists and pedestrians sharing a path yell at each other, or someone pushing a triplet-sized stroller turns into the pedestrian version of the SUV, commandeering the sidewalk through sheer size. But something deeper and more transformative happens when we move from people who walk to people who drive. The personal armor described by Disney is perhaps not so far-fetched. One study of pedestrian fatalities by French researchers showed that a significant number were associated with a change of mode, for example, moving from car to foot. As if, the authors speculated, drivers leaving their vehicles still felt a certain invulnerability. Psychologists have struggled to understand the deviant driver, creating detailed personality profiles to understand who's likely to fall prey to road rage. An early mantra, originally applied to what was called the accident-prone driver, has long held sway. A man drives as he lives. This is why car insurance premiums are tied not only to driving history, but, more controversially, to credit scores. Risky credit, the thinking goes, correlates with taking risks on the road. The statistical association between lower credit scores and higher insurance losses is just that, however. The reasons why how one lives might be linked to how one drives are less clear. And as inquiries into this question typically involve questionnaires, they're open to various self-reported response biases. How would you answer this simple question? Are you a raving psychopath on wheels? Please check never, sometimes, or always. Generally, these inquiries come to what hardly seem earth-shattering conclusions. That sensation-seeking, risk-seeking, novelty-seeking, and aggressive individuals tend to drive in a riskier, more aggressive manner. You weren't going to bet your paycheck on daredevil drivers being the risk-averse people who crave quiet normalcy and routine, were you? Even using a phrase like road rage lends a clinical legitimacy to what might simply be termed bad or boorish behavior elsewhere. Traffic tantrums is a useful alternative, nicely underscoring the raw childishness of aggressive driving. The more interesting question is not whether some of us are more prone to act like homicidal maniacs once we get behind the wheel, but why we all act differently. What is going on seems to have less to do with a change in personality than with a change in our entire being. In traffic, we struggle to stay human. Think of language, perhaps the defining human characteristic. Being in a car renders us mostly mute. Instead of complex vocabularies and subtle shifts in facial expression, the language of traffic is reduced, necessarily, for reasons of safety and economy, to a range of basic signals, formal and informal, that convey only the simplest of meanings.